Folks, welcome to the coaching call. So glad you guys are here. This is Susan Baracco, and I am going to be working with you folks today on questions and answers and discussion about your about the B2B Launcher program. So glad you guys are here. Kathy, good to see you. Christian and Theo, great to have you guys here. And thank you, Kathy, for that was going to be my next thing. I want to make sure you can hear me. So thanks for saying hello in the chat. And we're going to wait just a moment or two for other folks to join us. And while we're waiting, if you'd like to answer our just for fun question, please feel free to type it in the chat. And then we will get going. First Thursday in February. My goodness. Came up quick. All right, everybody's being shy today. Quiet group. Quiet group. Kathy said she worked as a teenager at the local high school during the summer working in the office. That's great. That's a fun one. That's a simple job. I debated it would be your first job or your strangest job. So we certainly have had some, I know I've had some unusual jobs too, so. Alrighty, hey Ruth, oops. Ruth, welcome, glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you, glad to be here.
Connie has joined us, welcome. I'll give it a moment. If you're so inclined, feel free to answer our just for fun question to get us started today. And let's see. All right. I think we'll move on and get into our program. We start out, this is one of your first calls. I know many of you are new in the program. So I start out by asking you some questions that I would like you to answer in the chat. So feel free to type in the chat as we move through the questions today. And then once we get into the question and answer segment, then we can bring it on for discussion if need be. All right, and someone who's joined by phone only. Not sure who you are, but hi and welcome. Doesn't have a name, just your phone number, so glad you're here. All right, so we start off our calls with sharing a win, and it can be something significant, perhaps, that's happened since our last call, or maybe something that just isn't quite as significant, but still considering a win. We like to see what you're up to and celebrate with you. So don't be shy. Certainly feel free to type in and type a W. Each question that I ask, I will ask you to put some kind of a character in the beginning of it so that I know what you're responding to. So that helps me. And Rhonda, hey, welcome. Glad you're here. Got a good group today. So anybody wants to share a win, go right ahead, type it in. Ruth says she finished writing her website copy. Congratulations. That is a fair amount of work. Not always that easy either. It can be a challenge for sure. So congratulations, that's a big win. Kathy says, I started my website in design and I've resisted the urge to over-design the site. Absolutely, congratulations and good for you. And good for you for that. That awareness. I find that sometimes people try to either say too much or do too much in their first website. And I'm a big fan of keeping it simple, simplify it, streamline it, get to the point, you know, keep it focused on what you think your target audience is really going to want to see and hear. So good for you. CEO, hey there, he says, I'm sending emails to my network this week. Congratulations. I have a great story about emails to network, to my network. I'll share with you guys a little bit later in the call if we have time, but good for you. It's amazing what comes out of your network. I will encourage you to not hold back in doing that. So, all right. Christian says, I've been following up with the same guy for about 8 months. I had worked with before and he had a project open up writing some emails. Hey, congratulations. That's a big win. Very exciting. Great stuff, guys. Thanks for sharing. And Lawrence said he's finished writing website copy as well. And Moto by four. Don't know what your actual first name is, but you're showing up as Moto. You said you finished. Oh, AJ, sorry. Hi there, AJ. Finished your website copy too. That's awesome. Honestly, that is the first couple modules in this program are the most heavy lifting. So you're doing, Ed asks you to do a lot in this program and right up front, but there's such foundational things that I think it's important to take the time and not rush yourself through these. It's a lot of work, especially building a website. If you don't have one, oh my goodness, yes, it takes time. So congratulations to all of you. That's really awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm going to move on to my next question. And I'd love to know, this is something that's very helpful for me as we go through our call today, is to find out what material you're implementing right now. And obviously some of you have finished up with the website, but how far into the program are you? What session are you working on now? Just type that in the chat. Let me know so that I have an idea of where we are and what everybody's working on. All right. Lawrence said he's in session three, so you're building your website. Getting ready to do that. And hey, Jeff, welcome. I see that you jumped on while we were going through things here. Kathy has paused on the website and session two. Not a problem. Jeff's on session three also, and Rhonda said she's finished the website copy deep into the Why Me page, researching services. And Theo says session five. Theo, you're moving right along. Email prospecting, good for you. And whatever pace you're at is absolutely fine. There is no wrong or wrong way or right way to go through this course as long as you continue to make progress. Christian says, I'm working on the LinkedIn networking. Great. That's one of my favorite topics. You'll see some stuff in there for me too. So great. LinkedIn's an amazing power tool for building your business. So good for you. Good for you for exploring. Awesome. Well, thank you, folks. Thanks for helping me with that. The Why Me page, I'm going to just share something with all of you since you're all working on your web copy. And I know a couple of you have submitted. I know I've been looking at them. Is the Why Me page is a sales page. It really should be focused on the target audience. So I often explain in my reviews, and if you've gotten one of my reviews, you'll hear me say this, is that your Why Me page should be talking about my experience in this area means this is how you benefit. And you just draw a very straight, direct, obvious line between my background in this means this is how you benefit. My education in this means this is how you benefit. So you want to really very much be a page that talks about you, but it really talks about them. So you could tell me, geez, I have a doctor, you know, I have a PhD in some topic, and I might say, so what? How's that going to help me? I might not be able to see as a visitor to your website how that's going to be of value to me. So the Why Me page is really an opportunity for you to say, here's what I've got, here's what I bring to the table, and here's what is valuable to you. And hopefully that makes sense. Your About Me page is the story of you. So that can be a narrative, it should be more in paragraph format, and literally tells the story of how you came through your career and decided to become a writer. How did you get here? How'd you get here from where'd you come from, and how'd you get here today to be where you are today? So that's the About Me page. The Why Me page is that sharing, you're really helping the the visitor understand the value of your experience. All right, I'm gonna dive right in. It's our next slide. It's all about questions. So I wanna encourage all of you to be active on this call in terms of asking questions. There are no stupid questions. There are no insignificant, silly questions. Just don't worry about it. All of you, many of you are in the same place. And as we can see from where you all answered in terms of what session you're working on, everybody's going through the same thing. So don't feel that your question is out of line. I can guarantee you that most of the time when you ask a question, most of the other people on the call or anyone listening to the recording has got that exact same question. So don't be shy. The way that this works is that I will ask you to type in a Q, capital Q, and then type in your actual question into the chat so that I can take a look at it, and one question per person, and I can come back to you. You know, keep your question focused and specific, exactly what it is that you're looking for. And then, if applicable, tell me one or two options that you're considering, and then we'll bring you on so we can have a conversation about it. Ah, great. Great, great. AJ, you're right on top of things today, jumping right in. I am going to have you, let's see if I can find you here. All right, if you can, AJ, if you're available, I'm hoping that, and that's the other thing, if you are in a place where you cannot talk, I know sometimes people come to this call that, you know, they might be on lunch break or something like that, they're working on, you know, they have a full-time job and they're listening to this. If you're not able to join me live and have a conversation, just let me know, can't talk, and I'll just address your question without bringing you on. So, AJ, if you want to unmute yourself, let me see. I'm not sure if you're able to talk or not, I don't see it. An unmute option, not unless you're one of the phone calls. I think you're in two separate places. I think I see two separate questions, two separate things. Oh, there you are. Are you there? If you're there, AJ, I cannot hear you. We cannot hear you. Still can't hear you. All right, so in the meantime, while we're trying to get AJ's audio to function properly, if anybody else has a question, feel free to type it in. Type in a capital Q, and then please put in your question. And AJ, if for some reason we can't get your audio to work, I will just share what Ed's thought is on samples, and samples you're not proud of, etc. All right, so I'm going to actually, AJ, I'm not sure where you disappeared to. So I'll wait for her to come back. Ruth, you're up next with a question. How many testimonials do you recommend on the site? Any minimum or maximum? And actually, there is none, no minimum and maximum. You don't want to have too many. I think the best way to do it, Ruth, honestly, is to simply have it be the strongest ones. Those are the ones that you want, obviously, on your testimonials page. It's great to have testimonials with actual names of people, if it's at all possible to have a little thumbnail with a headshot of them or something like that. That's great too, but just so that people know these are real, actual human beings, and testimonials are not made up. That's the bigger issue. So the number is entirely up to you. Even one really great testimonial is great to have on your website. And it really depends, and where all of you, for most of you who are just getting started, you know, you're just entering into this and trying to get started, having one or two is not a problem. I don't even know. I've got four, I think, and I've been at this for, oh my gosh, 10 years, something like that, 7 years anyway. I think I have four or five, maybe. Not all of my clients give me a testimonial, even if I ask. Sometimes, you know, they don't give me a testimonial, even though they're very happy with me. They just, you know, never get around to it, or what the case is. You know, it really depends on the quality. I guess I would suggest, Ruth, that you focus on quality there. And maximum, I wouldn't have three pages worth, because people aren't going to read them. So at the most, maybe one page with up to 10. But again, quality is first and foremost. Is it a really great testimonial that sounds, you know, that really supports what you're doing right now? Oh. All right. I hope that's helpful. So Lawrence, you're next. And AJ, I don't see that AJ is back, so keep an eye out. Lawrence's question, I already have a website. Should I get rid of all the copy and replace it with the B2B copy? And the question two, is it okay to hit the same testimonials on website LinkedIn? So quick question, quick answer to that, yes, absolutely. Same testimonials in both places is very powerful. So no problem at all. And then Lawrence, if you're available, let's see.
I'm available.
There you are. Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So tell me a little bit about the copy that you have on your website right now. I mean, is it really, really different from where you're planning to head?
Well, I mean, I made a name for myself as a company. I'm not calling the company my name. And, you know, it's all copy of, like, none of it's about why me, essentially. And there's what I can do for you and what I offer, but obviously this was much more involved. And that was it. I mean, I could send it to you if you want, but I think the stuff that you had us write was much more focused.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, I did do it generically. I did do, here's who we are, and here's what I provide. But I didn't really go into who I am and why I'm the best and what I differentiate from other people.
Yeah. I think those are important points. So it sounds to me like you may be able to do a fusion of what you already have and add maybe an extra page or two, something like that, and add a little bit more depth to what you already have. Now, are you talking when you're on your web copy, are you talking in like first person, this is my name is and here's what I'm about, or is it more, do you present yourself more as like a company as opposed to an individual?
In the web copy I sent to you?
Yes.
I present myself as an individual.
Okay. Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet, so that's why I'm asking.
But that raises another question. Mm-hmm. I mean, the company's name isn't my name.
That's
so
okay. Mm-hmm.
How should I be presenting myself? Is a we in this thing or you know?
Not necessarily. I know for myself, I don't, my URL is not my name, and it's a company name, if you will, or my title. But I still present myself as I, and I go with first person when I talk on all of my copies in first person. So that's not a detail that's going to matter much to people, to your potential audience. I don't think that's going to matter all that much. So, and I personally, I think, especially with the writers, and I know Ed and I talk about this all the time, is the fact that people do business with people. So we recommend that you share a bit about you. The people want to see you. They want to see a nice, you know, a nice headshot of you and get to know who you are. That's part of the appeal of why they, you know, they do business with people. And so, and we all like to do business with people. So I think that, you know, presenting yourself as an individual is absolutely fine. And there may be, depending on the audience that you're going after, that you're targeting, that there could be some real advantage to that as well. What is the target market that you're thinking about or planning on focusing on?
Financial services companies.
So natural services, help me understand what that is. What do you mean?
Small fund companies, financial advisors, wealth management firms, all the way up to like a possible JP Morgan.
Okay. I misunderstood what you said. So, okay. So definitely, I think there's some advantage to presenting yourself as an individual because they do too. they understand that, the same kind of thing. They try to be very personal as well in their copy. So I would maybe work with it. And what I will do is once you submit, and I know you've submitted, I think you submitted your web copy today, maybe, or yesterday. Yeah. So I'll take a look at that. I think it's on my schedule for today. So I'll take a look, I'll give you some feedback, and hopefully that'll, once I see what you've got written, I'll make some comments and see if I can help you steer you in the direction to just kind of fuse this together with, here's what you've already got. Let's tweak here and there. And I think that's really what I try to do when I review them is to say, let's just work with what you've got, tweak it, and get it ready to go live. So does that help?
That's very helpful. Can I ask one more question while you got me?
Yeah.
What do you think is the best place to set up a website, like Wix or GoDaddy, with their formatted website? Because the one I did on Wix didn't have a lot of white space. It had like pictures of offices and people and all kinds of stuff. But I see the ones that you guys presented have a lot of white space.
Yes.
And very little copy on each page.
Yes. So I would recommend that you go with whatever is most affordable and that you're most comfortable with. And I personally use Wix. I've been using it because I designed my own website and so forth. I'm certainly not a designer, but I wanted to have the access. I wanted to be able to make changes to my website myself. And so that was important to me. Some people prefer to go with WordPress, a WordPress foundation. Maybe if you're more technical and more comfortable with that, go for it. But for me, it was affordability and ease of use were the two things that I was personally looking for. Wix has a ton of different templates, some that are very streamlined and scaled back. So you definitely have a lot of options with Wix, but there's also a host of others that are similar to Wix that do the same kind of thing. So that's a very much a personal choice of if something that you feel you want to do yourself, if you don't want to invest in having somebody do it for you, and if you want to have the ability to get in and make changes on the fly, which for me was important. So that's my two cents on that.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, great questions. And next up is Jeff. And I'm just looking for AJ and see that she came back. Jeff's question, how important are images, logos, and headshot on our websites? I'm planning on an image on each page and a headshot somewhere. Great question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, whoops. Hold on. Hi there, Jeff. Sorry. Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Absolutely. Question. Yeah. Good questions in terms of what to put on the website. Like I was just talking with Lawrence about is that simple is better. Tell me a little bit about the images that you were thinking about.
Something, writing related and maybe something, related to my target market.
Okay.
I really like the look of, like a across the screen, landscape type image goes the entire width, but fairly, short, not half the page or anything like that. Just something to, make it another dimension to it, I guess. So sure. It doesn't look so boring.
Sure.
And then with some white space.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Above and below it.
Yeah, I think it's a balance of Yeah, I think you have to be careful about the kind of, the reason I was asking about the images, if you had some that were, if you were in a specific industry and you could find some images that were professional and well done, that would be relevant, because pictures tell a story, right? We want them to. The one thing I don't like people putting in images just to fill space. Make sure, you know, you want to make sure that they're good quality, that they're, because they do tell a story. They do send a message to your visitor. So you just want to be mindful and not overdo it. So I always step back and think about why is my visitor here? What are they here? And what are they after? And so I want to make sure that my web copy and my website overall is easy to navigate and gives them the information that I know they're going to be looking for. If they've never used a writer before, they're going to want to know some things. What questions are they going to be asking? And what makes me different? Those are the two things we want to make sure we answer their questions and demonstrate how we're different. So I definitely would recommend images to keep visual interest, but just be mindful not to overdo it. It really is balance. And I'm by no means a designer. That's one of the reasons I went with Wix, was because it told me, here, put a picture here. And I thought, okay, if I have the right kind of picture, then that's perfect. And then the other thing is your headshot. And Jeff, did you have a professional headshot done?
I have not. You know, I started going through all the, you know, collection of pictures I have over the years. I have a few wedding pictures, but it's of me in a tux. That's about the only professional.
Not a problem. So here's what I would recommend. Yeah, for that is, you don't have to have a professional headshot. If your budget will allow, I strongly recommend it, because it's obvious, right? When you use a professional picture, professionally taken picture. However, today's smartphones have amazing cameras. So the other thing would be to have someone take a picture of you, pick the background, have a nice, professional outfit on or something, that you don't have to be in a suit or anything, but just something that looks crisp and neat, and have someone take a bunch of pictures of you, that just from like slightly different angles and things like that, so that you look professional. That would be another recommendation. Again, as I mentioned, pictures tell a story. They send a message. And so we just want to be mindful. Just want to be mindful there of what it is that, the message we're sending. So just be keep that in mind as you think about a headshot. The other option that you might want to consider is look around, see if you can find maybe a photographer who's also a freelancer, you know, solopreneur, and see if maybe you can trade services. So if they'll take a few headshots of you, maybe you can write them a couple of blog posts or update their web copy or something like that, or maybe trade services. That's always a good option. That's something to consider too. All right. Well, I hope that was helpful.
Okay, good ideas. Thank you. One other thing, as far as, anything to lend credibility to, our backgrounds or education, logos from, societies or associations that we belong to, or previous colleges or anything like that. Is that,
gotcha. Yep.
is that a value to put on there?
Again, I'm going to just go back to your target audience. And what I would recommend is you put yourself in their shoes and think about, okay, what is going to have wow factor for them, not for you. So, and I say this often when I do the website reviews, is that, what we think is really important and what they think is really important could potentially be two different things. So
good point.
I might think that my bachelor's degree is awesome, and they might go, so what? really? I don't get it. Why is that such a big deal? They might not see those logos and they might disregard them. Or they might see them and go, wow, he's worked for, or he's gone through this program. That might be really impressive. So I want you to think of everything, photos, headshot, logos, everything, and everything you talk about, as think about it as wow factor. Will they lean in and look at your website and go, wow, where's the contact me button? I want to talk to this guy. That's the number one rule of thumb for me is all about wow factor. If you think that your audience is going to really be impressed and it's going to mean something to them, put it in. That's the bottom line.
Okay. That makes sense. Thanks, Susan.
You're very welcome. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Great question. Kathy, you're up with the next question. Kathy says, I want to offer a digital course launch strategy and launch manager services. I don't know the services I should offer. Should I consider running a promo with my email, with email list building and digital course launch strategy to test my idea first, to flesh out the services and possible target audience? Kathy, hold on, because I think we actually, if I remember correctly, you and I have been...
We did this through Facebook.
Yes.
And you did send me some examples.
Okay.
And I did review those.
Okay.
So I think the thing I keep sort of getting bogged down, I'm pivoting my business. Last year I did more web design and email marketing, project management.
Okay.
And this year I wanted to try to do more related around digital course launches, using my project management skills that way. But I think this, because I've not done this before, I'm struggling a little bit as to, I keep thinking about what I was doing before, you know, like it seems easier to write it based off of what I do have experience doing, but I'm realizing like the web design part of it just wasn't as fulfilling to me. I really enjoyed project management. I had an opportunity to work with one client that sort of was moving his business from direct selling of a digital course to online digital course selling. And when we worked together, I just realized that was something that just really lit me up and was exciting to me to kind of work in that arena. But I'm struggling a little bit about all the different service offerings.
Yeah, overwhelming.
Target, you know, and so I did look at those websites and it was a little different. You know, I don't necessarily want to do the digital course for them, but I do want to try to help guide people because I feel like that seems to be a lot of the direction. Since the pandemic, you've not able to get in face-to-face to people as much anymore.
For sure. For sure.
So I know I kind of want to target businesses that have been in business for a little while and that want to take this content that maybe they've got and repurpose it into a digital course and sort of guide people that haven't done it before. But I think that's where I'm struggling a little bit is how, so that I can pull it together on my website. So that's what I mean is I've sort of paused there for a second trying to think about the way to position that.
Gotcha. Well, I think my best suggestion for you would be to step back from it and think about, again, the person that you might be calling on, that you might be trying to attract to this, and think about what are the top three or four things that they struggle most with.
Okay.
What's getting in their way? Don't worry about the whole, you know, because you're talking about launch strategy and all of this. When I'm looking at this email list building, that's big stuff, right? That's not like I can explain that to you in three words kind of thing. It's
right.
There's a lot to it, right? And it's big and it can be unwieldy, which is exactly why people get overwhelmed when they see something like this. So step all the way back, take a couple steps back and go, okay, someone has never done this before. What are the three mistakes you want them to avoid? What are the three biggest hurdles? What are the three most important things they have to have? You know, scale it way down so that it's very digestible. And it is just, you know, here's topic one, topic two, topic three, maybe four, right? Maybe up to four. Okay. And then create some kind of an offer that says, in this offering, I'll show you how to avoid the top three mistakes that everybody makes when they're starting out. Okay. So now that feels a little more, I think, probably manageable to you, but also here's the best way to approach getting started with your digital course
strategy.
So this is, you just want to take that very front, those first couple of that first step or two and make it very doable for your audience.
Okay.
So you want to simplify it. Just think simplify. I think we all do that. It's the same thing we do with our website, with our,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Trying to, oh my gosh, I'm trying to tell them all this great stuff.
I want fonts, colors.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Know, we're trying to head shot.
So yes, simplify. Again, yes. You'll hear me every call I do, you'll hear me talk about simplifying. It's just step back a little bit and think, what's the quickest, easiest way? What's the one thing that's maybe standing in their way? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's they don't know where to begin. Maybe it's whatever the case may be. So, and then just come up with maybe and work out a couple different things. Like, okay, so I can help you get over the top three mistakes that everybody makes in planning. And you're just in the planning stage of, you know, you're really more in that planning and management stage, not even in the actual hands-on.
Right.
To do it.
So. Yeah, so the example of like how I kind of came about the coaching client, it started off where he just had sort of the idea, he had a digital course, and it was like, how do I present this outside of doing direct sales? Gotcha. I've always sold it to clients and said, here, 20 people can use this for this price, and now I want to try to make it online. I can't get in front of people as often anymore. And so I realized in talking with him, we needed to back up. He needed to build his email list, you know, to get where he was targeting his email list again. And so it was like, as I was talking to him, it was a little easier for me to start saying, okay, I see. He's so confused. It was a matter of me sort of helping him untangle all the details.
The very front end. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And say, okay, start with engaging your email list again. So you got to start emailing your clients and getting them excited about the parts of your digital course. And then we kind of backed up that way. So I realized in talking with him, it was a little easier for me to see it. When I'm looking in a vacuum and sort of trying to figure out what would the general target audience want. Well, now it varies, right? Depending on where they are. Some people may have a list, others may not. But when I talk to people, I realize I can sort of see task in a very narrow way to where they're looking at this giant pile of work. And I'm like, oh, you got to start here first.
Right. And so that's exactly what I would suggest you think about offering. It's just that very easy to say yes to. So you want to create something that makes a lot of sense. Maybe it's because of the affordability or the you know, a combination of it's maybe it's free, maybe it's, you know, low cost. And maybe it addresses just that very beginning, those very beginning things things you have to do before you launch your course, you know, just
before you launch.
Yeah.
This is, okay. That's a good idea. Yeah.
And try it. Then you're going to want to try that. Float that out to some people and say, is this something, you know, that sounds like it would get
started. My thinking is test it first with some, you know, inexpensive offer so that I can sort of be fleshing it out and getting interest. Once I'm getting to talk to some people, then I can kind of identify more of where the target audience is, as well as potential things to narrow my services to.
Absolutely. So keep in mind, and again, this is another thing that Ed and I say all the time, is that this is your starting point. So everything you're doing right now, your positioning statement, your website copy, your target list, everything you're doing, this is a giant experiment. You're testing. And especially with the website, that's why Ed says that you should be 80% happy with what your website looks like on day one. So when you get your website up, it should be 80% of the way there. Maybe 75% of the way there. Just to get you started. And then, because as you start interacting with potential clients, that's where the real learning comes in, where you're like, oh, now you're starting to understand what is important to them and what are they looking for? What do they need help with? And then you can fine tune your website on the backside so that as you learn the language, learn and understand the pain points for them, that you can customize.
Yes, because that's where I'm struggling is how to speak to the pain points, because I'm like, who's the audience?
Exactly. So one step at a time, you know, and like we always try to encourage people, get things rolling. Don't look for perfect. Get this so that you're like 75-80% of the way happy with what you've got, and then go back and change it as you learn, as you start to develop your freelance business. So.
Yes, that has been a major mindset shift taking this program, is not trying to figure it all out, because my tendency is to be a perfectionist and look at it like it's a project. I got tasks I've got to do. So I'm trying to think it all through, and it becomes very heavy.
Overwhelming.
That's when it comes to your own thing, right?
Absolutely.
When somebody else, I could see it clearly and it's no big deal. But when it's my own thing, I just stall.
Absolutely.
Not getting it moving.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That helped.
Glad that was helpful. All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Awesome. Great question. Great question. That's what I enjoy about having you guys come on and for us to have a little bit of interaction so that I can fully understand what it is you're challenged by, but also that, you know, we can all kind of hear, and I'm sure everybody can hear, like, you know, I was thinking that same thing. That's exactly what I was saying at the start of the call, is that, you know, when we have these calls, is, you know, don't worry about your question. They're all valid. So, all right. And Rhonda, you're up next regarding your headshot. I'm 69 years old. No headshot of me is going to be pretty. I'm thinking in my case, a picture of my face would be a disadvantage. What do you think? Honestly, Rhonda, let me see if I can get you on here and unmute. I'm not sure if you're able to. Oops, there you are. You're unmuted, but we cannot hear you, Rhonda, unfortunately. So as far as a headshot, I'm going to go ahead and address that piece, Rhonda, for you. And then, yes, you can weigh in on a website builder if you would like to type in the chat and just share your thoughts on a website builder so that everyone who's in the chat can see it. Please do. And I'll read it also in case there's people here that are just connected by phone. I think there are a few. As far as the headshot is concerned, so I'm not a huge fan of having my picture taken either. I certainly understand that. But I think that's one of the reasons that I recommend that you consider finding a photographer, because with the right setting, the right lighting, that's what they do, is that their job is to make you look your best. And I'm always surprised. I don't love having my picture taken either. It's just a thing. I think some people are shy. Some people, obviously, with social media are anything but shy. But for those of us who are a little bit on the other end of the age scale, we're just not used to the age spectrum. We're not used to having our picture taken. You know, it's just not something that we're necessarily comfortable with. And I absolutely understand that. But the power of a professional headshot is amazing, because people can tell the difference between a professional headshot and one that, you know, that you took yourself or that someone took. There's just a difference. And I can tell you that I invested in professional headshots. A friend of mine, actually, who's an amazing photographer, she has a business and she does a lot of this. And I invested in, it was a couple $100. It wasn't crazy expensive, but it was a couple $100. And she took a bunch of pictures, and I use them for everything. They're not just on my website. I use them in all my social media locations, so the photo is the same. If I'm speaking somewhere, a lot of times people say send a bio and a headshot. I send that. It's amazing how many places that headshot now can be used. So it's not just your website. And it's part of your brand. And I think it's important. So that's just my personal preference, my personal opinion. I really believe that I'm always amazed when my friend Jen did mine here locally. I went up to her studio and I brought some different clothes, some different types of things, and she did some different settings, and we talked about it, and I was so surprised, so happily surprised at how well they came out, because I don't feel I'm particularly photogenic either, but she just got me to relax, and we laughed a lot, we talked about our kids, and it was just a really nice way to spend an hour, and then to see the results. I was, you know, the lighting alone can do so much to just complement what you have naturally. It doesn't have to be fancy and expensive. You can probably do it for for a few hundred dollars, but I can tell you that it's worth it, especially if you're uncomfortable about that idea. I would encourage you even more strongly to find a photographer that you can work with, because it's absolutely worth it. You know, for me, I want to feel confident in the way that I look out there, because it is, everybody's looking for, they want to see a picture of you. And I understand your reluctance with that. But I think it's an important thing to consider, to at least consider. I have seen other people use avatars, a professionally designed avatar, but I still think that the other thing that I would recommend to you, Rhonda, as I'm thinking about this and we take a closer look, is go and look at your competitors. Go ahead and do some research, look up copywriters with the same, that are focused on the same target audience that you are, and take a look and see how they're presenting themselves. And find a good handful, at least five, you know, maybe five different writers that are focused on the same target audience, and see how they're talking about themselves on their website. Take a look at how, you know, are there pictures of them? Are there not? It could be based on the audience, but I would imagine that most people would have some kind of a photo of themselves, and get a feel for what it is that that other people in the industry, in this target audience, focused on this target audience, find out what they're doing too. I always recommend that. That's for anyone on the call today, anyone listening to the recordings. You know, if you have a question about how should I do this, go and see what other people are doing. And it's okay to borrow style and to borrow ideas. Obviously, it's not okay to borrow words, but it is definitely okay to borrow styles and approaches and see what you like. There's most likely competitors out there. And I know I did that. I still do that. I'm still looking at other people's websites going, ooh, I like the way he or she has that written. I like the way they present that. I'm always looking for that to see, can I make my website a little stronger, a little more appealing to the visitor? So I would definitely recommend spend a little bit of time, but consider finding a professional to work with you on a headshot. And I think you'll be, I think in the long run, you'll be happy that you did. And I hope that helped. Kathy's chimed in. She said she used Wix for a nonprofit web design that she had done. You can delete some of the templated info and give yourself more white space. Yes, I agree, Kathy. I found that too, is that even though you put chosen a template with lots of pictures, most of the time you can ditch the pictures and just keep one or two for it, or put your own photos in, your own images. All right. And Theo has a great question about samples. I have a question about samples. Does not having enough hurt your chances of landing clients? And that is a great question that Ed answers. I'm going to send you all, anytime that you have a question like this, certainly bring it here to the coaching call. I'm not trying to brush you off by any means, Theo. But one of the things you can think of in between the calls, because we go about 2 weeks on average, we do two of these calls a month. If you have a question like that, go to Ed's website, b2blauncher.com, and go to his articles section and then look up samples, you know, just go, search on samples. He has a really great article he actually has a picture of the one scrawny, embarrassing little sample that he used to start when he started doing this. And it's really, it's fun. He said he looks at it now and he's like, oh, you know, embarrassed by it. But it was all he had. So he went with it. And he is obviously very successful. It's really built an amazing program for himself and, you know, for others. But it's it just kind of brings you back to, I know in the beginning, I didn't have a lot of samples either. And I think that it's a matter of coming up with, there's a couple different ways you can address samples. Use what you have, even if they're not super strong, if they're not your best writing, is to have a sample or two is great. If you don't have any samples, then an easy way to get a sample is to offer to do some pro bono work. So maybe there's a small organization or business near you, maybe in your immediate area, something like that, that you could connect with and offer to do a couple of blog articles for them. And one of the reasons that, because a lot of times people come through this program and say, gosh, can I just, you know, like write something? Can I just write a white paper, make it up, you know, even if I don't have a client? We recommend that you not do that, simply because there's something about writing an article, whether you're getting paid for it or not. If you're writing a blog article and you're not getting paid for it, it's still writing a blog article for someone else, and it puts you in a different mindset when you're doing that. So you know you have, you're still treating this person like a client because they technically are, but you know, offer to do a pro bono piece or two. And then with the caveat that they provide you with a testimonial, if they're happy, a testimonial, and that they're allowed to use it as a sample, that you're allowed to use it as a sample. So, you know, hey, I'll do a pro bono piece for you, but here's what I'd love. I'd love it if you give me a testimonial and then let me use it as a sample on my website. So that's kind of the trade-off, if you will, of, hey, I'll do a short piece. I think it's important to have, if you're concerned about samples, use what you have, even if it's not your best work, and then see if you can find a project or two, that small project, not big, but something small and simple, maybe a couple of blog articles that you could write for someone, or a little bit of website copy work that you could do, rewriting and things like that, that you could do pro bono, that would give you the samples that you need and the testimonials. Because it's nothing like a live client testimonial and a live client sample that really makes you shine. I think that's far more important. So does, back to your question, Theo, about not having enough samples, does it hurt your chances of landing a client? No, I don't believe it does. I think in some, again, I always am going to refer back to, depends on your audience, depends on the target market that you're working on, that you're targeting. Some industries, samples are very important, and not having a sample could be a problem for you. But most of the time, if depending on what you're going to be writing for people, and I'll give you an example of, my gosh, there's a sales copy. So I think that sales copy of like an email campaign or something like that, that's designed to, you know, for selling, people are going to want to see an example of that. Yes, most likely that might have a heavier role. A good sample might play a heavier role or a more important role in landing work. But outside of that, samples are excellent to have, but not necessary, depending on what you're doing. And again, one of the things that Ed recommends, if you haven't gotten to that point, because a lot of you are still early in the program, he talks a lot about pro bono, but pro bono on a very limited basis. So maybe you take one or two small projects pro bono to get some experience, to get some samples, some testimonials, like I said, and then that gets you started down the right path. So I hope that is helpful in terms of understanding the role that a sample can play. That makes sense. All right, Kathy had she's contributing another comment here. She said, I hate getting my photo taken as well. I asked a photographer to do photojournalistic shots where they start talking to you and snapping pictures without posing. I got some great pictures. Thank you, Kathy, for sharing that. That's a great thing to share, because I agree. I think that's photojournalistic are super fun. That's what my friend Jen has gotten more into. It's not posing, but she got me talking about my kids and stuff, and that's when I relaxed. And, you know, we were joking around, and same thing. We got some great pictures. And Rhonda was actually, sorry, we weren't able to bring you on there, Rhonda. Not sure what happened, but she says, thanks, ageism is rampant. I agree that avatars are not the best idea, but I don't want to be seen as old. Yeah. So I agree, ageism is rampant, but I wouldn't be, I wouldn't let that stand in the way. I really wouldn't. I think it's worth finding out, like I said, if you could even swap services with a maybe a budding photographer who might be willing to take a few shots for you, and then, you know, you could trade services in some way if that's makes it more possible. But I'd try it. I think it makes sense to have a professional, because they can help you to look they help you look your best. You know, lighting, like I said, is everything, and background, and I think you'd be surprised. I know I certainly was. Jeff said, yep, you're not alone. I'm 63, but I'll probably go and get a professional headshot. Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because I'm not that much younger than you folks, so I'm in the same place. All right. So Ruth had another question. I write in two languages, English and German, with a focus on English. I'm wondering if I should mention the German on the website at all, because I'm not sure it adds real value. It may be confusing. Do you have any suggestions? Ruth, if you're... Oh, there you are. Hey, hi Ruth.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So the thing is that like my mother tongue is actually German, but I mainly write in English, and I'm wondering, I want to focus on English. I am focusing on English, would the German add actual value if I add it there, or should I just mention it somewhere? Because it's not something that I want to focus on, but I also don't want to put it on if it doesn't actually add value to what I offer.
Yep, makes sense.
I'm saying, well, would that maybe take away from my, you know, from the other things that I offer?
Well, my question to you is, what's your target audience? What kind of writing are you? Who are you going to be calling on?
It's like data analytics and data processing and medical technologies. That's gotcha. Like my field.
Okay. So I would say no. I don't think it would take away at all. One thing to think about is, as you're calling on these companies, are any of them doing business internationally? And would it be of value to them to have someone who can communicate in German? For some of their marketing materials, or maybe some other communications that they're, you know, that they're going to be sending out, there may be some value to them. So I would include it, and even if you want to be really subtle about it, and just add it in your maybe in your about me or your bio page. That just, you know, I'm multilingual or I'm bilingual, however you want to say it, and and share a little bit of the background. I don't think it'll hurt you at all. I really don't believe so. I mean, if you're, do you have other experience, direct experience in the industry?
Yeah. Well, I was a purchaser before. That's the main experience I had before.
Okay.
And then in a lot of other industries, I have experience in writing German also. Just that I don't want to focus on that.
I understand.
Because there isn't a big market for it. There really isn't a big market for it.
Okay. So then it comes down to personal choice. You know, again, for me, it's, I look at my audience and I think, what is going to be of value to them? What's going to be important to them? And if it's not, then you can downplay it or not mention it at all. That's, you know, and that then it becomes your personal choice.
Yeah, that's kind of, That's kind of the question, because I think it wouldn't be found by people who are looking for German content writers.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, okay, so why would somebody who's looking for an English content writer suddenly want something for German?
Understood.
You know, this is kind of my thinking and contemplating whether I should or shouldn't. But maybe just to make a mention of it somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. If you have an About Me page, just say, hey, you know, this is a little about me. This is my background. This is where I come from. And so as a result, I'm bilingual, but focusing on, you know, the English speaking market. So that's fine. And see, again, this is a starting point. See how it goes. See what, if a lot of people start asking you about it, if you've made mention of it somewhere and people start asking you about it, then that might change your mind. You might start thinking differently, but do it again. Let's test it. Put it out there as, you know, something subtle somewhere, just in your web copy somewhere, and then see what happens. If no one notices and no one asks, then you have your answer, you know?
Right. Sometime down the line, add maybe a page for German or add a section for German. Or
for sure, depending on where this leads, but one step at a time. But yeah, I think it would be worth just putting it out there to see if anybody, I put things on my About Me page that I'm amazed that people find, that they take the time to go through my website and they actually find things and will say things to me about what I have in my About Me page. That I would never expect them to go that deep into my website to see that, and then they do. It's really fascinating. So I would do it in a way that you're comfortable with right now, and then see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. You're
Thank
very
you
welcome.
Input there. Yep. Very helpful.
No problem. All right. Awesome. All right. Rhonda, I see that you did make some comments here about, you said no headshot as long as COVID reigns. Actually, most of the photographers that I am familiar with, people that, including my friend Jen, she's still very active and doing headshot sessions. So it might be worth taking a look around, just contacting a few people, because that can be done safely with social distancing. And a camera that could probably be 10 feet away and zoom right in and be fine. So yeah, I think it can be done. And you're recommending people take a look at homestead.com. And they have some phone support. Awesome. So thank you for sharing that. And Lawrence, I saw your comment too about working for yourself avoids ageism. That's true. It's 100% true. Ageism is one thing when you're trying to actually land a full-time job. And that's a great point. So thank you for bringing that up, Lawrence. When it comes to freelance, it's like, ooh, now all of a sudden this person isn't an age issue. It's, wow, this person has a lot of experience, and I can use them and see how it goes, or use them for projects kind of thing and do a project-based thing. I agree. I agree with that, Lawrence. Super. Some good conversation here. Ruth says, I think in writing, age is not as much of an issue as other professions. People value life experience. Yep, I agree, Ruth, what I was just saying. Life experience means something. And that's one of the benefits of freelancing, to tell you the truth, is if I went out and tried to find a job right now, I think it would be very, very hard to get one because of my age. But I'm busy as anything as a writer. So, you know, and I think that you will see that as you start diving in. Awesome. Great. All right. Well, I am going to pop to that. We do have time for more questions, if you have any, but I'm going to pop to the next screen here and ask if you would just type in the chat, capital V, for what's been valuable so far today. Anything that we've talked about that was helpful in regards to discussions, questions, any ideas that people brought up that you thought were of value, just please type Capital Lead, let me know what your thoughts about today's call. It's been a lot of good questions, a lot of great discussion. So I love it when all of you are active and asking questions. It just makes it valuable for everybody. Whether you've asked a question or not, it's valuable to sit in and hear what other people are thinking about working on. And this will, by the way, this call will be available. The recording will be available most likely tomorrow. They typically get it out pretty quickly. So if you want to come back and listen again, or for anybody who wasn't able to make it to the call, this will be available on recording tomorrow. Lawrence said the website writing session was valuable but very hard because I had to think about things that were a bit uncomfortable. It is. Yeah, it gets you thinking, gets you outside of your head a little bit, and definitely gets you thinking differently about. And this is a process too. I want everyone to just keep in mind that this is a learning process. If you've never been a freelancer before, if you've never had to promote yourself this way, this is all very foreign. It can feel really weird. So even if you've been in sales, like the first half of my career, I was in sales in the telecommunications industry actually for quite a while. But I was out selling other people's stuff. You know, I was promoting the equipment that we had to offer. And so it was a little bit different equipment or services, but to actually be talking about yourself is a whole nother ballgame. And I think it really can be very uncomfortable. So I agree with you, Lawrence. I think it's just like, ooh, now I have to start talking about myself in a way that I maybe never have done before. Kathy said, what's been valuable is realizing the why me page should be more about the target audience and how our experience benefits them. Yeah, thanks for circling back around to that. That's such an important thing to keep in mind. Really, your whole website is about them. I say this in all my reviews too. If you've had your stuff reviewed, you'll hear me say it's technically about you, but it's really not. It's all about me, the visitor. All I care about is me. I don't even know you. Why should I care about you? All I care about is me and what you can do for me. So with that in mind, writing your web copy to say, what is this person gonna be impressed with or find valuable? That's what I want to be talking about. Right. It says the hardest part is promoting myself rather than somebody else. And it is, that is a challenge. The positioning exercise really helps focus. And I think for us, for all of us, for most people, the positioning will help because it gets you thinking more about, I'm not just gonna go out there and say, hey, I'm great. I'm a great writer, you should hire me. But it helps you to think a little more deeply about like, why, what makes me good at this? What is it that would make me a valuable resource? For someone in my target audience. And so it kind of takes it off of you in a personal way and puts it more on the, hey, I've got this experience. I've worked in this industry for X number of years. Those are the kinds of things that help you focus and help you to kind of realize, yeah, I can promote my experience. And I feel more comfortable there. Kathy, you're a fraud manager. That's really funny. I was in telecom for 15 years, I think, something like that. Crazy. My husband still is. Jeff says, putting ourselves in the client's shoes, finding out their challenges and offering them solutions. Most definitely. Rhonda said that she found the headshot discussion valuable, and then also knowing others feel as I do, uncomfortable about the promoting and refocusing on the target audience needs. Yeah, even the when Kathy and I were talking about, you know, her coming up with an offering of some sort, same thing. What do they care about? You know, because they don't care about us. This is the first time they've landed on our website. They don't even know who we are. Maybe they get a warm email and they click the link just for ha-has, and so that now they're on our website. So what are we going to say? It's actually going to be interesting or valuable to them. Theo has another question. me see. Theo, I'm hoping you're able to unmute. Oh, hi there.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So tell me what a little bit about your experience. Is it direct in the industry that you're going to be calling on?
Yes. So in this instance, it's directly in the industry I'm trying to promote myself in.
Okay. And so I think it did. Now, are you doing the property management? Is that correct?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Okay. So I think, honestly, because I got a chance to look at your website and your web copy, so I think your background is really strong, even though you only have a couple of years. I think your background is really strong in that particular industry. I mean, because you have experience working with vendors. And is that, you're going to be calling on vendors who sell into property managers. Is that correct? Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. So yeah, it's going to be for, vendors who sell into that industry. So focused on B2B mostly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I think 3 years is plenty, honestly. I think there's plenty of to talk about there. And what you want to be thinking about is maybe just different experiences that you had in your career inside of that 3 years where you worked with a vendor or a couple of different vendors. Maybe there's some insight there in terms of, geez, there was one vendor that, I really was able to build a great relationship with, and therefore this is the value I got out of it. And be able to translate that into, how that experience, that's what you want to then be able to talk about for your client in their copy, is to say, the value of building a relationship. So any experience that you have like that, positive or negative, is helpful for your writing. It's going to inform your writing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So just focus on the value of the experience and what I gained, and I guess steer away from the number of years.
Yeah, I would, unless somebody asks, I wouldn't even say it. That's what I did in the beginning. I've been writing my whole life, my whole career has been centered around writing. Even though I was in sales, I was writing sales letters, I was writing bids and, responses to, bid type things, big documents. I was doing lots of writing my whole career. But I actually never really was a writer. I could never wear that hat. So, even all the lead up to my getting into writing, I didn't have any direct writing experience. I was in sales. I was in management. I was, this or that or the next thing. I was a great writer, but I'd never done really any technically actually being a writer. So, but I still, all of my experience brought, I think, was helpful. And so even though you only have, I think 3 years is a fairly long time, to be perfectly honest. So I think you can just talk about my experience in the industry means I understand what it's like to develop relationships, both with clients and with vendors. It means that I understand, this aspect or that aspect of what you're trying to accomplish in your copy. And I think that's, and then if someone asks you, then that's a different story. You're going to say it, but I wouldn't bother to put it anywhere on your website. It's just, yep, I was in the industry. That's all. And honestly, I don't think, I'd be surprised if anyone asked you. I think that would be the things that people are going to probably be more interested in, honestly, is have you ever written a this or a that, fill in the blank. Have you ever written a, an email campaign or that kind of thing, but not so much about your background. I think it'll be more of, hey, have you done this before?
Oh, okay. That's a relief.
Yeah. No, it'll be more along those lines. Have you ever done any web copy or can you do web copy? There'll be more, those kinds of questions, but not.
Good to know. Appreciate
it. Maybe, I'm sure you'll stumble across one here or there, but I don't think it's going to be that important.
Okay, I'll just try to skirt around it if I can.
Keep it. Don't mention it on the website and just run with it. But 3 years is not bad, honestly. It's not that bad at all. If you said 3 months, all right, now we have a problem. But 3 years is not bad.
Feels like I'm faking it sometimes, so I wonder.
fake it till you make it, as they say. I think I can tell you that I pivoted 4 years ago now to writing books. I wanted to get into, and so I called myself a ghostwriter. I help people write books. And I can tell you that the first book contract that I got, I didn't sleep the night I landed, and I was excited, but I was scared to pieces. I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? Am I going to be able to do this? And that wasn't that very long ago. That was only a few years ago. So even though I'd been writing and I'd written my own book, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Sometimes you just have to dive in. That's the way this business works. And it's all turned out. It worked out for me really well, but that's all I do. But I love it. But I have to say, it was that first step was a big one. so you're not alone.
I'll try not to overthink it. I'll just jump in and see what happens.
Exactly. It's a test. You're testing the waters, right. See what happens and it'd go from there. So, but thanks for the question.
Yeah. Thank you. That was very helpful.
Awesome. All right. Great questions and great interaction today. And so I want to end with, and again, just type in the chat with your answer. What's your top action for the coming week or between now and the next time we get together on the call? What are the things you're going to focus on? And let me know. And we are scheduled, I think, for the 18th will be the next coaching call. But feel free to type in anything that you're going to be committed to working on in the coming week or two. Hey, Lawrence, and I just saw that you, I think that was a question about how do you answer, have you ever done this, when the answer is no. Someone asked if I had ever done technical writing, and I said I hadn't, but would be willing to do the work. Yeah, and Kathy, similar question, how do you answer the question if you ever done this, like write web copy and you don't have specific expertise in the area? So both of those questions are very similar. And so I will simply say that you want to always be honest. I think that's number one, is to be honest about your experience. But it's an opportunity to open a conversation, because that's the same thing. A lot of people come into this program and they're saying, oh, I'd love to write white papers. I mean, maybe I've never written one before, but I'd love to write white papers. That's where I want to steer my business toward, or something like that. Maybe they've got some kind of an idea. Maybe they just want to do web copy, or they want to just focus on email campaigns, whatever the case may be. So the honest answer is, no, I have not. and that's always the best way to approach it. However, that being said, I would be willing to do a pilot program with you, a pilot project, I should say, with you. So if you have a need, so that it's an opportunity then to turn around and say, tell me a little bit more about what you need, what you're looking for. Like, tell me more about the project itself. And I will tell you whether or not I think it's something that that makes sense for us to maybe do as a pilot project. And that way, you want to learn more about their project, but you want to also offer, say, look, you know, it would be my first one. It would be the first time I ever wrote this type of piece. But I'd be willing to give you a discount in order to get the work. So if it's a smaller project, and that's something that Ed talks about, we get into the whole negotiation, talking to people, ballparking is session six, session seven is quoting and actually selling. So Ed gets into a lot of that in session six and seven of this program. But the bottom line is that you don't want to say, nope, sorry, can't help you. right? You want to say, actually, no, I haven't written something specific like that. I haven't done any technical writing, or maybe I haven't done a white paper. However, I'd love to know more about your specific project to see if you'd be open to doing a pilot project, using it as a pilot, and that I may either do it pro bono or at a discounted rate. And again, that's going to be up to you. One time only, one project only, just to see, and that way we can, and I also recommend people do that with any new potential client, is to go into every single, in the beginning in particular, when you're first getting started, is to go into the arrangement with the mindset of, this is a pilot. I want to see if this is going to work out. And to actually say that to the client is that we need to get to know each other to see how well we work together. And so what I'd like to propose is a pilot project where you give me two or three blog articles, or you give me a chance to write a case study for you, or let me do two or three pages of your web copy, and let's see how it goes. Let's see how we work together. And that way, it protects both of you. And that's the one thing I want to say about this is that the client, as anxious as we are to land that first client, I totally understand. And I want you to take that, even in a pro bono arrangement, if you can get it, because it's important to you. But the other thing is that you don't want to get locked in right away with a client who might not turn out to be a great client. That I'm seeing more times than I care to say. And anybody who's been in this at this for a little while, get the client from hell, right? They won't pay, or they're not returning your calls, or they can be that way. So it's really important to start small. I had a gentleman come through this program a couple of months ago before you folks were here, and he said, "Oh, I have this great opportunity, and they want me to do." They want me to go on retainer and work for months doing all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down to speed up is what I say. Slow down a little bit. Let's think about this. What if they turn out to be a nightmare client and they're not paying you, or they're not this or that or the next thing? They're really difficult to work with. So what I suggested to him was, why don't you suggest a trial part of the project, maybe work together for a month. And at the end of the month, come back together in a meeting and say, okay, how do you think it went? Here's how I thought it went. Here's what needs to change. And now we'll move on and say, okay, let's do it another month, or maybe we do 2 or 3 months or something like that. It just protects you and gives you the chance to breathe and not be overwhelmed, but also to step back and say, hey, let's take this in small bites as opposed to big chunks. So if someone does say, do you have an experience? I do not have any direct experience, but I'd like to know more about your project, because I'd be interested and would love to know if you'd be interested in maybe allowing me to do this as a pilot for you, either pro bono or reduced rate, so that we can see if I'm the right fit for your company. Because you may have the background. So a lot of you are coming into an industry. Gosh, I've been in this particular industry for X number of years. Maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20. So you've got the right background. But maybe you've just never written a case study before. You know what? Let me do it anyway, or let me do one for you, and let's see how it goes. And no commitment. We'll do one and one only, and then we both at the end decide, does this make sense, and should we continue to work together? Can I do more work for you? So that, I hope, is helpful. But that would be the direction I would go. Right, we've got a lot of action items starting session 3 for Lawrence. Rhonda is going to finish her web copy. Theo's going to be prospecting. That's great. Kathy's going to create a package around the launch idea and work on her website copy. And Christian, make a habit of using LinkedIn. Love LinkedIn. Next time, come back with LinkedIn questions. We'll talk about it. It's one of my favorite tools. Just as build up my website and get a headshot. Awesome. Great call today. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for being interactive. This was really a lot of fun. I hope it was helpful. And if you have questions between now and the 18th of the month, feel free to jump on Facebook. That's what we're there for. Ed and I are there. I'm in the Facebook group every day. Ed is there, I think most days he swings in and looks for questions and looks for, you know, to see if he can make comments and support you. So please use the question, the Q&A thread in the Facebook group. Ask questions. We're here to support you every day, 5 days a week. And so happy to help you out there. So feel free to jump on Facebook. And again, thank you for being here. And I look forward to seeing you guys all on Facebook. Have a great rest of your week. Take care, folks.